1 year, I went from unemployed making videos in my family room to becoming a top 40 under 40 honoree, gaining hundreds of thousands of views. And I'm just getting started. It's time for the second annual Walsh Wednesday Fun Drive. It's Connor coming at you once again, and what better day to launch the second annual Fun Drive than to do it on National Connor's Day? Seriously, that's a thing, not some April Fool's prank. Guys, 2025 was such a transformative year here at Walsh Wednesday, and I'm so excited to see what 2026 has to offer. Over the span of the last 60 plus episodes, not only have we gotten to speak with local leaders and creators, but we worked with platinum selling artists, Broadway veterans, Hollywood actors, banana ball players, and even Olympians. Because of the hard work from this past year, Walsh Wednesday is once again nominated for Best Podcast, part of Hudson Valley Magazine's Best of Hudson Valley. None of this would be possible without you, so thank you. You can help Walsh Wednesday continue to grow by donating to our GoFundMe and by voting for Walsh Wednesday for Best Podcast. Both links can be found in the description of this episode. And if you don't have the funds to donate at this time, that's fine. I totally get it. Just sharing alone goes such a long way. We got some really cool plans for 2026. As you've seen, we've recently launched our trivia spinoff, Walsh Whiteboards, which honestly has been a blast to film. Not just that, we're hoping to go on the road more often to show you incredible sights, stories, exhibits, and more that can't be captured in the studio. From the bottom of my heart, I greatly appreciate you for believing in what Walsh Wednesday is and what it will become. The second annual Walsh Wednesday Fun Drive and the Best of Hudson Valley voting will end on April 30th. That being said, Connor Walsh signing off for Walsh Wednesday on National Connors Day. And as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. This episode has been a long time in the making. With me, I have my friend Austin France. Austin, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Dude, so we've been working together musically for a while, and we've been saying for a long time, he's been messaging me, he's like, when am I getting on the podcast? And unfortunately, life just kept getting in the way every time that we tried to plan something.
It's been a couple of years, I think.
It's been a year since I've seen you. Yes, but like actually worked on something. It's probably been a couple years, but no, we go back to college times.
I was still living at home.
You were still living at home. I was at the College of St. Rose, so that goes back to all that. And it was also funny, just all the different connections that we had that we didn't realize that we had, which was crazy because like you knew my girlfriend Alex. I wasn't dating Alex yet, but
and I met you through Chris.
Yep, you met me through Chris. That was
at his graduation party.
It was
his graduation.
Was it graduation?
Party. It was graduation.
No, because I was still at. Was that a high school graduation party?
Because I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay.
Then it was his birthday.
I would have thought it had to have been birthday. Because I was pretty sure
maybe it was his 18th or 19th birthday.
It had to have been birthday unless it was a very late graduation party because I know that I had him for a tour and then he came to St. Rose. And I'm pretty sure he was already at St. Rose by the time I got invited to that party.
It could have been a very late graduation party.
That's also fair too. I'll admit I've had some late parties of my own as well.
I've had parties. I've gone to graduation parties weeks before school starts.
That's also fair. One of my favorite graduation stories, I had 10 graduation parties to go to the weekend right after high school graduation. And I didn't have my license yet. So I was working so hard in order to get the get everything set, make sure that the timing of getting my driver's license test done, everything going fine. So graduation was on a Wednesday.
Really? In the middle of the week?
It was in the middle of the week. I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday.
We always did ours on Saturdays.
No, so the graduation parties. Oh, sorry. No, I take that back. The driving test was a Wednesday. Graduation was Friday. All the parties were on Saturdays. That's what it was. So I got my driver's license on Wednesday.
Jeez.
And I know I was late to the game. But and then by the time graduation happened, I go to all 10 parties in one day. Yeah. And I scheduled the whole route. Like, you should have seen me. I was like Charlie Day from Always Sunny, connecting all the lines. And I'm like,
oh, man.
And I'm like, this is the route that I'm going to have to take. This is how I'm going to do it. And it's going to be great.
Everyone gets 12 minutes.
It was a little more than 12 minutes. I managed to do 10 parties in 14 hours.
Oh, my.
And
if they had a pool, I stayed a little longer. But
yeah. But it was funny as hell, though, because the last party that I showed up to, it was like midnight, and they got a DJ. It's in the backyard. Everybody's dancing and hammered. And as soon as they see me, Connor, Don't Stop Believing comes on, and it's like a movie moment.
Oh, I love it.
I did get a hiccup at one point, though, because I accidentally
started drinking at one of the parties.
Oh, man.
Because I was like, this iced tea is a little, there's a little something to it. Oh. And they were like, Connor, those are Long Islands. I was like, damn it. So I had to stick around a little longer.
Yeah. Well, when I graduated, I mean, it was kind of crazy that summer because I graduated with so much family.
Oh, really?
Family and people that I considered family.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my cousin are the same age. We graduated at the same time. So we did our parties together. So that was a huge ass party.
Nice.
Crazy. It was great. I think that one went until, that one went late into the night.
Nice.
And then the rest of my cousin graduated, and then my girlfriend graduated, and then we had other friends that she wanted to go see at the time. And it was a filled summer of just parties.
Yeah.
And then I think halfway through summer, I just started working.
Oh, really?
I wasn't going to school in the fall, so I found a full-time job.
There you go.
So my weeks were filled with building ponds, and then my weekends were party.
Yep. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
You're working for the weekend. You're part of it.
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, damn. I should have gotten like a whole pitcher of water or something. We might pause this at one point, and you'll just see big pitcher of water here.
Maybe some other things might happen, too.
Yep. We'll see. But no, so one of the big things that always connected us was the music, of course. Absolutely. Chris was a musician. That's how we met. And then through that, you know, Melissa, Alex, all those folks, you were you knew them through theater. And wasn't it through being in the bands for a lot of shows they were in? That worked?
So I knew Melissa and Rory through high school. And we weren't so close.
Oh, yeah, I forgot it was high school.
Yeah. First. High school first, Melissa Narski, one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
And we met high school. We didn't really connect until after her and Rory graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back to visit one day. And I just happened to – I lived in the music room.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't – my free periods were in the band room, in the piano room, in the practice room. I was playing music.
Yep.
And they had stopped in because Melissa was also at St. Rose.
Yep.
So she was close by. And that's when we kind of reconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I graduated, I continued working with the school for like their extracurriculars or marching band. And I helped with the drama club and set design and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then Melissa called me one day. She's like, hey, I need a drummer for the Addams Family.
Yep.
At Slock. And I was like, yeah, sign me up. I love it. Yeah. Can I be in the show?
Hard to drum and be in the show at the same time.
It's impossible, let me tell you. But no, that's when I met Alex. That's when I reconnected with Rory and Melissa, and we all started hanging out again. And then, from there, it was just, you know, I still talk to Melissa, and I'm related to Anthony, her husband.
Wait, you are?
I am related to Anthony.
I did not know that. How?
Through my aunt.
Okay.
By marriage. She's.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
We're not blood. That would be insane. But we are pretty much the same person.
I was going to say, y'all got very big personalities. So, I can see it. Oh, my God. I've actually never seen you and Anthony in the same room together in person. I've seen videos.
No, that's because they don't invite me to their Halloween party.
Oh, shots fired. But I could only imagine it's like a nuclear bomb going off when you two would be in a room together.
Oh, man. It's something. Because when me and Laura go out to visit them,
yep.
Me and Anthony, I push Anthony. I forget what, because when it's so easy to get Anthony when he's drinking.
It's so easy to get him riled up.
Push him.
Yeah.
And one night I pushed him so far.
Oh no.
We were playing Mario Kart.
Oh, this might be one of the videos that I saw. Okay, because Melissa's always taking Snapchats of everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Was it the one where we were still at the their townhouse?
Still at the townhouse.
Oh, there's even more.
I'm sure there is.
There's even more. I got him going. So because he was we were drinking so bad because I was telling Anthony that he just needed to keep drinking. And he just
it doesn't listens. Take much to no. convince him.
No, I told him that he couldn't drive anymore. I took his controller until he finished his beer. And then
you're taking Beerio Kart to a whole new level.
Dude, we were so I don't drink beer. I shoot shots.
Yep.
I do shots when we do Beerio Kart because I just shoot. Yep. I hate beer.
Well, I remember the bar that you had at your parents' house, at your mom's house.
Still there.
I know it's still there, but now you have your own place.
I do.
Have you built a bar in the apartment?
I can't. I've got my little bit, but I'm going to get evicted if I try that.
That's fair. Okay, go on. Yes, you're pushing Anthony.
Pushing Anthony. And so, like, we're done. We're both hammered. And Laura goes into the kitchen. Melissa asks me if I want something to snack on. And Anthony's like, well, what am I going to eat, Melissa? Air. Delish.
That sounds like a SpongeBob episode. Photosynthesis.
SpongeBob was a part of that night, too.
I'm not surprised.
We were getting ready for bed. And I don't know who did it, but there was like a somebody had remade some of the SpongeBob songs on Spotify.
Okay.
They were terrible.
Oh.
Awful. But you know how they've got the smart house.
Yeah.
So in each room, there's a dot where you can have it play music. So I would have it play this terrible song. It's the like the ballad of when SpongeBob gets taken to the to the chum bucket, and there's
this is not the stove. I know.
I don't know if you can find the audio of that song anymore, but it was horrific.
It was bad, huh?
It was so bad. And so Anthony was having it play like these goofy songs and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and like actual songs that sounded good. So I think it was like 9 o'clock. We're both in bed and it's quiet. And I have it play this song. And I hear Anthony from across the hall in the room dying. He comes crawling out of the bedroom, laughing on his knees.
Oh my God. I could hear him first, like imagine, because I've slept in their guest room and everything. I could imagine being there in the guest room and hearing him be like, "What is this?" And then eventually coming out. He's
just dying laughing.
Oh my God.
That was obvious. This is not the stove I knew.
Oh, SpongeBob. We love it.
So there's so many shenanigans when me and Anthony get together.
Anthony is that kind of guy. I always say every time that I'm with Anthony and other people are involved, somehow, some way, it leads to Anthony wrestling with somebody on the ground.
Well, either that or Melissa's just yelling at him.
Oh, that's always going to happen. But like somehow, some way, Anthony is always wrestling with somebody on the ground.
I've never wrestled with him on the ground.
I'm surprised.
I know. I'm surprised we didn't wrestle the last time, the time before with Mario.
See, you would have been like a prime candidate. I would have thought like guys would have gone at it.
I think he's scared of me.
Maybe he might be. I don't know.
I mean, I'm like a foot taller than the guy.
Yes, that. But I've seen him take on people that are way taller than him. He's a
scrappy little dude.
He's scrappy, but my God, oh my gosh, I've seen him with his friend Ryan. I've seen him with his brother. He's going at it with a lot of people.
Oh yeah,
it becomes WWE when in that place eventually.
Oh yeah. Oh, especially with Nick. Oh man.
Oh, especially. Well, come on. Those are brothers. Oh yeah. That's what brothers are going to do.
Yeah.
Nick regardless
knows,
of the age,
Nick knows how to push them just as good as I do.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's impressive that you have that brotherly pushing essence to you without even being a brother. But y'all are related through marriage. Yeah. But
through marriage.
That's funny though. But kind of getting back more to music and everything. Just talking about some of the early ways that we connected. Obviously, we met through Chris, but once you and I connected, like we're talking about our love of like growing up with the pop punk and emo stuff.
It was
and
like salt and pepper, man.
It was great to be able to experience that. I helped you out with sound a couple times.
Oh yeah,
you've drummed for me a couple of times. So we've had some really great experiences sharing music.
We laid
together.
Down whole tracks in my band room together.
Yep. Absolutely. And there's some stuff that's still going to come out. I promise. The stuff is coming out, and I promise it.
I won't let you release it until we fine-tune it.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems was, though, and this is what happens when you're a musician with full-time jobs and other things, once there's one hiccup in something, the whole project gets stalled.
Yeah.
Because, like, Austin and I, we laid down tracks like nothing.
I don't know. What did we do? Like 6 tracks in one day?
We did a lot. We did a lot. You were also helping me out with a client of mine too.
Yeah.
I remember that. And those were a number of the tracks and I gave that to the client and you know, those tracks are out there. But the stuff like that we worked on for us, you know, that's still to come out. But the problem was I had one musician drop out. So then I was hunting down other musicians and then eventually life took over and then just never got them set yet. So now it's at the point it was like, screw it. I'm like Thanos. Fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So
there's still a couple in the chamber that we're gonna remake.
Absolutely. Well, one in particular, and you know, we can talk about this. The song that I released in 2020, "Dance with Me."
Yeah.
You fell in love with, and you were like, "This could be a pop punk anthem right there." And what we've done with it so far is pretty dope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta find time. I gotta myself between my band and work.
Yep.
And you know, being married, and you know, because that takes up a lot of time.
It does.
And and not being near my studio anymore.
Yeah,
that's the big thing. Is I'm 45 minutes away from my studio now.
Yep.
And it's in shambles
because
I don't get there.
Yeah, understandable.
It's become my dumping ground for all my music stuff.
Yep.
It's all my drum kits are in there. They're just stacked up. My guitars. I mean, granted, I've got a couple that I still have at my place, but nothing like I could do when I was at home.
Yeah, and, understandable.
And some things might be changing there too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. Some things are in the making here with between me and my father in his house.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be back closer to home, but we'll have the space there that I had up at my mother's house.
There you go.
To get everything rolling again.
All right. Okay. So there might be some things where you'll have a lot more accessibility.
Be back to the home studio.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be neat. So when it comes to music, you are primarily a percussionist, but as we were talking about before we got onto all this, you kind of had to learn a little bit of everything as you've gone on your musical journey. You want to talk about that for a second? Like how you started in drums and then how it was like how you evolved into being a multi-instrumentalist?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It started in fifth grade. I mean, I've loved music before then, but never had any drive to play instruments other than the piano that we had at my grandparents' house growing up. A big stand-up, I can't remember the brand it was, but it was one of the nice brands. I feel like it started with an L, but I can't remember.
I don't know.
It's nothing I would remember because it wasn't English, that's for sure. But we used to play that. My uncle is a great musician, in his own right. And he used to play that piano all the time, which got me into playing it. And then eventually the piano had to go. It was too old. My grandparents weren't going to pay to get it tuned up.
Yeah.
And nobody knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think we were like 10 when that started to go.
Okay.
And by that time I had been playing percussion in the school band. And that's where I really fell in love with music and instruments and everything. I wanted to learn how to play everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't excel very well in the beginning at like snare drum and stuff, something with rudiments. But I was good at glockenspiel and mallet instruments. So I went with that for a little bit. And when I got to middle school, that's when I fell in love with timpani.
There you go.
And from then on, I pretty much only play timpani.
Okay.
I love tonal drums. It's a great thing, you know, congas, tonal drums, concert toms. I was pretty much, that was my expertise all through high school. I refused to play anything else. My band teacher wanted to kill me at some points, I'm pretty sure. You know, maybe I could send this to Sean Lowry and he can confirm.
But, Sean Lowry, we're looking out for you.
That and Mike Christie.
Mike Christie.
I know, okay. Mike Christie wanted to kill me at some point.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, no, but actually Mike was the one who pushed me further into the timpani.
Okay.
And he was actually, he didn't want to kill me because that's all I wanted to play. He wanted to kill me for other reasons because I was a pain in the ass.
You? What?
I know, right? It's crazy. But so high school was all timpani, and I really never looked back on playing anything else other than timpani.
Okay.
And then I was doing drum set by myself. I taught myself how to
do it. Oh, really? So you didn't do drum set at all in school?
No. No,
really? Not for a jazz band or anything?
Senior year, I did jazz band.
Okay, gotcha.
Because the other drummer didn't want
to
do it.
But by that point, you were probably self-taught up to a certain point where it wasn't like brand new to you.
I had been playing drum set since I was, it was earlier. So I think I was living at my grandparents' house. My uncle got me a first act set for Christmas.
First act.
Yep.
Shout out to First Act. They may not be great, but they are the first act for a lot of us musicians.
They really are. Yeah. And, so the snare drum in it sucked.
Oh, yeah.
And I could not for the life of me get this thing to sound good. But when you're a percussionist and you start playing in the band, you have to get a bell kit.
Yeah.
That, you know, some people rent them, some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to own mine. And it came with a Ludwig piccolo jazz snare that sounded amazing.
Nice.
So that first act drum set went out the window. And the piccolo snare came in, and I played heavy metal on that piccolo snare.
That must have been a very interesting sound.
I'm talking about Metallica, Nickelback, anything heavy. Avenged Sevenfold was played on that piccolo snare.
Wow.
And wow. I ended up breaking that thing to pieces because I would hit it so hard.
Yep.
But I probably still got it somewhere, but it's missing a bunch of parts. Oof. Things fell off of it.
What a way to get you started,
though. It's probably still at my grandmother's, to be honest with you.
Wow.
But yeah, so I probably started that when I was 10.
Okay.
So I'm going to be 28 in May. So it's been 18 years I've been playing set.
Yeah.
And it's been about 8 that I've been playing live with a band. And it's such an experience, man. You know, playing in a band is totally different than playing, you know, in your studio.
Oh, 100%.
The adrenaline rush you get, the love of being up on stage and just doing what you love with the other people you love doing it with.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like crack.
It is. It's addicting.
It's a drug.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you get that first fix, it's hard to like give it up.
It really is.
And then like, let's say you haven't performed in a while and then you perform again and then you're like, you need that next fix.
Yeah.
You know,
it's happening to me right now.
I don't blame you. So
I just played a benefit gig for a bar that we played at a lot.
Okay.
The King's Inn. Unfortunately, the owner passed away over the winter.
Oh, that's a shame.
So we a bunch of the bands that play there, we all got together at the Albany Elks to do a little fundraiser for the family.
Yeah.
And man, we only played 45 minutes, but I'm itching to get back out there now.
Dude, I don't blame you. And also, this time of year stinks when it comes to picking up gigs anywhere.
Cooped up inside, man, it's
oh
impossible.
My God. Yeah, no. The winter is a very tough time to be getting gigs locally. Yeah. So, but
the problem is nobody's going out.
Yeah, nobody's going out. Like I do, you know, I've told you about this. I work for Dutch's Beer Distributors on the side, and I do all these promotional events, and it's kind of hard to do the promotional events when nobody's showing up to the bars.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like we'll be there, like I'll be there at jazz nights over at Mahoney's, and you know, it just doesn't have the crowd that it normally would other times a year. Or what are some other stuff? Karaoke nights over at the Derby.
Which Mahoney's is awesome.
Dude, it can get crazy, especially like the jazz nights on Tuesdays are great. You know, a lot of their DJs are a lot of fun. I've had some wild times at Mahoney's. I'll tell you one off camera later. yeah, but
it involves a beer bottle and a magician.
No, it does not. It's a crazy story. But outside of that, like, yeah, the winter is tough. Winter is so tough for musicians, but this is like the time of year to hone up on your craft, to practice, to write, to do stuff like that if you can.
And that's what we try to do when we're all not busy or don't want to shovel the stairs.
Well, that's the other thing. We've had such an insane winter as well. So
it was great to start out with.
Oh, December was fun. And then after that point, it's like, it's not fun anymore.
Then Mother Nature became an absolute atrocity.
Yeah, nah, not too fun. But Austin, let's take a chance to talk about your current band. You want to shout them out?
Oh, yeah. I currently play with the Innerbred Chicken Herders. We just go with the Chicken Herders. I don't know why I said the whole thing. But no, we are a country southern rock kind of band. We play almost everything. I do drums, I play guitar, whatever we really need to do, if I can do it, I throw the other lead guitarist on the drums because that's where he started.
Really?
He started as a drummer too.
Wow.
You guys could probably look him up. I don't know if their song library is anywhere, but the band's called Wolfgang. It's they're way back from like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
But they're awesome. Sean is great. He's an awesome drummer. As much as he'll die he'll die on that stake that he was meant to be a guitar player, but he's so wrong.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but we want us for a party, we drive everywhere.
Book them. So it's interesting because your music influence is all over the place. You know, what we related the most on was like the pop punk and emo days.
Oh, yeah.
However, I love country and southern rock as well. Funny enough, we don't talk about that side of our lives as much.
No, but like, I live in Blink 182.
I know you do. I know you do. But it's funny how your influences are truly all over the place. And you really kind of accept all kind of music and you're able to adapt and approach each different genre that is put in front of you, whether it is to record or to perform. What would you say, like, some of your favorite artists to perform live?
That's a tough one because it depends on what I'm playing.
Yeah.
It depends on if I'm playing drums or if I'm playing the guitar or if I'm just singing.
Okay, so let's go with drums first.
Drums, to perform live, I love doing, like, 38 Special.
Hey, yeah.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. And we also do like a little bit of pop punk stuff. We do some Lit.
There you go.
Those are fun, high energy songs, and Chili Peppers.
Oh, come on. Chili Peppers right there. Fantastic. Talk about high energy stuff right there.
Chili Peppers are awesome. Yep. Yeah. Chad Smith is insane.
Dude, absolutely incredible. The stuff that he's able to pull off. What was it? Is it a Drumeo? Where?
He's like, I don't know. He's like their session drummer now.
Essentially, right?
They put him in so many different positions to play stuff now.
And it's just funny how he just rips everything that they put in front of him.
He does. And you wouldn't know how much the guy's actually on because he doesn't just work with the Chili Peppers.
Oh,
he
works
drum
everywhere.
Tracking for a lot of people.
Yeah. No, and it's incredible the work that, oh my God, Chad Smith is able to do. You know another Drumeo that I saw that really impressed me? John Stamos. John Stamos was doing Papa Roach.
He plays with the Beach Boys.
Yes. Yep. He plays with the Beach Boys, which is hilarious and amazing.
So he did the Papa Roach video. I watched that. That was crazy.
Yeah.
How close he was to the actual song.
He was so close. I would say except for the chorus.
Yeah.
Where he went into double time where it really would have been halftime.
Yeah.
But, I loved it, though.
He nailed the intro. That was crazy. From never hearing that song from Papa Roach to nail the intro.
Yeah.
That's something you feel.
Yeah.
That's a feel. And I feel like any drummer who's been doing it as long long as John Stamos has been doing it.
Yep.
Could have picked that up.
Oh my God. I remember listening to the chorus for the first time and he's doing double time. I was like, that's not right, but that sounds so right. That sounds so good.
Sounds good.
Oh my God. And it's also funny because like I've gotten to work with Papa Roach too. So like I got that added experience to it.
It's like watching Mike Portnoy do Taylor Swift.
Oh my God. Oh my God. He's been around here a lot with the pizzerias and whatnot.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, he's done a number of Hudson Valley.
Mike or Dave?
Sorry. I'm thinking the wrong Portnoy. Sorry.
Mike Portnoy, the drummer for Dream Theater.
My bad. Wrong Portnoy.
Oh boy.
My bad.
Strike.
I'm sorry.
Strike one.
Yep. My mind went to the wrong place. I was just watching some Barstool
stuff.
Sorry,
Mike. We didn't mean to disrespect. Or no, Connor didn't mean to disrespect
you. I didn't.
You.
I really didn't mean to. Dream Theater, fantastic. But you're right. Doing some Taylor Swift stuff. Okay, now this is coming back to me. What? There was a video that went viral of him doing a Taylor Swift song. What song was
just
that?
Shake It Off.
Shake It Off. There we go. Yep. All right, now it's coming back to me. Cue the Celine Dion song. Oh, coming back to me. I still consider one of the best songs ever recorded to this day, All Coming Back to Me. Also, shout out to Jim Steinman, the writer and producer of that. He wrote and produced all of Meatloaf stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Jim Steinman.
What another great performer, man.
Oh, Alex just told me that the Bat Out of Hell musical is coming to Proctor's.
Really?
I want to go so bad.
Yeah, that would be great.
Dude, oh, my God. Well, Bat Out of Hell was always meant to be a musical, and it didn't happen until decades later.
I mean, just an awesome album to begin with.
Such a good album.
So many good songs off of that. Just Bat Out of Hell to begin with. The song, Bat Out of Hell, is such an amazing song. Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but you could absolutely see that whole album as a musical.
Yeah, it was always meant to be a musical, and you can actually find the original draft of the scripts online.
Really?
You can read it. I've read it. It's fascinating. Hmm. They took a lot of that framework to make the current musical today. I haven't seen the musical yet, so I'm really curious to see like how much of the original script was kept versus what they made it into now.
Yeah.
But but that's the thing with so many things. Like, how often is the original script the final script?
It never is.
No. So, but it's fan it, both. Well, I love both Bat Out of Hell and Bat Out of Hell 2.
Just ask Matt Damon.
Oh my God, fucking Matt Damon, dude. Oh my God, what was it? I saw him in another cameo recently that blew my mind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is, sorry to Matt Damon, we ran out of time.
Oh, well, yes. That's always the best, the Kimmel thing, just the long-running Kimmel joke.
Sorry to Matt Damon, we ran out of time.
You know how that started, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, so when Kimmel just started, very early in his career as a talk show host, mm-hmm. He had already been a comedian, he'd already been acting to a degree, but when the Kimmel Live started, I think it was within the first season, and they had such a terrible episode, and Jimmy Kimmel felt so demoralized from it. And at the very end of the episode, he was like, what kind of last joke can I throw in here just to save this kind of for myself? Oh, yeah. And he thought to himself, was like, what's a star? Who's a star that there's no way we would have ever brushed off? So he comes up with it on the spot and is like, sorry to Matt Damon, we ran out of time.
Come up with Matt Damon.
And it was just this one-off gag of just, they had a terrible episode. He was really feeling bad about himself. He thought he was probably going to lose the job.
Oh, man.
And literally he said that, sorry to Matt Damon, we ran out of time, to be like, oh, well, we could have had him. And then the rest is history.
That's crazy.
The rest is history. And that was before Twitter. That was before social media. That was before like anybody could get on their phones to do something like that. But he became such a meme.
Praise the Matt Damon for being such a good sport.
He was such a good sport about it. And to this day, the stuff that you see like with those two together and what they do. Did you see the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire episode? So Jimmy Kimmel hosting it now, the Celebrity Edition.
Oh, and really? I thought they did a parody on it at some point.
No. They did a real – he's actually doing
That's
it.
That's funny.
So Ken Jennings comes on, and he said, it's like, so, Ken, you're so good at this. You're doing it by yourself. It's like, no, I actually brought a friend. It's like, oh, who'd you bring? Out comes Matt Damon. And spoiler alert, they won the million for the charity. But the entire time, Kimmel is absolutely roasting Matt Damon. Matt Damon's actually a really good sport about all of it.
He is.
But I'll admit, even for Kimmel, it was like, okay, dude, we get it. You guys have this running joke.
It's
like,
that chemistry they got together, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a huge Jimmy Kimmel fan, but he does have some fun stuff.
Every once in a while, there's some really good skits that come out of the show.
But then again, the other great one is when Matt Damon goes on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Yeah, that too.
He goes, you know what? You know, one time I'm here.
Right?
That's how you do a talk show.
This is how you do it. And like, how many times when he's like, you could never do this on Kimmel.
Yeah, right.
There was another great Matt Damon moment on Ed Norton. I mean, no, not Ed Norton, Graham Norton.
Graham Norton.
Why did I say Ed? I'm mixing up names so bad today.
Oh, man. Sorry, Graham.
Good Irish guy right there. But when he was on, so he was supposed to be on for this one episode. I'm mixing it up. So he was on for when they were promoting Monuments Men. I don't know if you remember that film. It was from like 10 years ago. It had John Goodman, George Clooney. I'm trying to remember some other, but other big actors
big
in
names,
it.
Yeah.
Big names. But that episode with Matt Damon and everybody else who was in Monuments Men has gone down in infamy for being one of the most unhinged Graham Norton episodes ever.
I feel like I've seen that interview.
You probably have, because they were all drunk as hell. They were all incredibly wasted. I think Bill Murray was there too. I think Bill Murray was in the film.
Bill Murray doesn't need to be drunk to be funny.
But they were all sloshed. And Graham Norton was having a hard time reining everything in. Matt Damon was probably the most composed out of everybody, but you could tell he was so far gone.
Oh.
So shortly after that, they had George Clooney on. George Clooney wasn't able to be on that episode, even though he was in the movie.
Yeah.
They had him on later, and Graham said, it's like, I don't normally say this, but this was the worst episode we ever filmed. And George gave a lot of the backstory of it. It was like, I heard about all that. I saw all that. It was, that was a travesty. I'm so sorry. But
you gotta love it.
It was, I recommend both episodes.
Okay.
First watch the Monuments Men episode, and then watch George Clooney apologizing for all of his co-stars.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, entertainers are so fun.
It's so fun to watch some of that stuff.
Yeah. Another Jimmy Kimmel bit that is my favorite. I watch it over and over again, is Knife Guys.
Knife Guys! I was just about to bring that up. Will Ferrell and Ryan Gosling. Yes. How unhinged.
Got knives to sell, Kimmel.
I love how unhinged Ryan Gosling gets.
Shut up, Kimmel! Shut up, Jimmy!
Because it's mostly Will the whole time, and then all of a sudden, Ryan just comes out and just, like, unloads on Kimmel.
Just shut up and let me cut my friend's throat open!
The Knife Guys is a perfect example of what you can do with that kind of thing. Another one, this is an old one too with Kimmel. When Batman v Superman came out, did you see the clip where they brought in Henry Cavill and they brought in Ben Affleck? And
probably.
They redid the scene in Batman v Superman where Clark and Bruce meet for the first time. And Jimmy Kimmel's walking in the background and was like, hey, anybody tell you look like Superman? And then
I think I have seen that.
And then he goes to Batman. It's like, take a picture of us. And he holds up the phone and he's like, oh, shoot, you're Batman. And he's going around and like they're getting so mad at him. So eventually Superman just throws him up into space. Funny enough, you remember this. Yeah. That was the same year The Martian came out. He throws him to Mars. And it was like, so now that you're here, maybe like we can have a talk show and I could be your guest every night. And it was like, oh,
I haven't seen that one.
I'm just going to go die in that crater over there. Do you want potatoes?
Yeah. Oh, man, that is a good one.
That was such a good one. It's old. It's like 10 years old now, but like I still remember that.
I still love that movie, though, The Martian.
The Martian's great. Batman v Superman is...
It's
a movie.
It was all right.
It was decent for what it was. If you want to see a good Batman v Superman, the Batman and Superman animated series crossover that they did.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. They should have taken it from that more.
I feel like the animated get it closer to the comics than the live action does.
Absolutely. Well, you had that whole series going on. You had the Batman animated series. You had the Superman animated series. That led into the Justice League animated series.
Yes.
All of those just gold.
We used to watch the Justice League animated series as kids.
Yeah. Oh my God, I loved that. I watched all of it, and I remember like Batman and the Superman. Most of those series had come out by the time like I was watching TV, so I was watching the reruns. But yeah, we were the perfect age demographic for the Justice League animated series because that was coming out in real time, and we got to experience
I went. I grew up watching. I think it was on. It was either on. No, it wasn't Boomerang. The old channel.
I do remember Boomerang,
old channels. I think it was just Warner Brothers, maybe?
There might have been something like that.
I think there was like a Warner Brothers channel where they just showed like older...
Well, there was WB Kids that they did for a while,
too. Might have been that, but they had the 1995 Spider-Man animated series.
Yes.
And that's where I fell in love with Spider-Man.
See, where I watched that was ABC Family. They would air episodes right before school.
Okay.
So I would, like, weekdays, as I'm getting ready, having breakfast, before I go off to school, they're playing the 95 Spider-Man.
All right. A little different for you than it was for me. We watched Legends of the Hidden Temple before school.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
That's what Nickelodeon would show right before school.
Yep. No, I watched, I had a lot of the orange VHS tapes.
Oh yeah,
VHS tapes to watch those.
Rugrats Go to Paris.
Rugrats Go to Paris. So good. There's this restaurant near here, Giacomo's, and they had a TV and a VHS setup where you can just put all of it in. So like every time we went to Giacomo's, I would run over to that corner, put in whatever VHS tape I wanted to. It was great. But where were we going about that? But yeah, Spider-Man. Oh my God, so good.
So good.
I had a Spider-Man backpack that I brought everywhere.
That's the closest that I think they've ever made it to the comics.
Yeah.
This with Spider-Man.
Did you hear that they might be, it's not confirmed, but they might be taking some of the concepts of the Spider-Man animated series, that 95 series, mm-hmm. into Brand New Day?
I mean,
did
you hear about that? It would be great if they
should
get back to, you know, what it actually is. You know, if they want to do it right, they should really go back and do their history and do their learning on how an actual Spider-Man movie is supposed to be.
Yeah. No, because one of the things, do you remember in season 2 of the 95 series when Spider-Man, his mutation was rapidly accelerating and he even grew like extra arms and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's hints and rumors that they might be doing that in Brand New Day.
I mean, that would be really cool, honestly. Yeah.
And they're swapping Dr. Connors for Hulk. Instead, one big green monster for another big green monster.
Yeah, one big green monster that was in the comics and one that wasn't.
Well, Hulk and him have had a lot of experiences. I think the reason why they want to put Dr. Banner...
Not as much as the Lizard.
No, not as much as the Lizard. Spider-Man. But remember, though, in the comics when the whole world forgets that Peter Parker is Spider-Man,
yeah,
they had this thing where Bruce Banner forgot, but the Hulk remembered. So they're probably tying all those threads together.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because I was, what was that? I was after No Way Home.
So in the comics, that was after the Time Runs Out storyline,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, a lot of stuff from No Way Home was based off a lot of Time Runs Out.
I mean, I would love for them to bring back classic villains, the Kingpin, Tombstone, the Hobgoblin.
Well, they are bringing Tombstone into this new movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it.
Yeah.
Because I lost touch with Spider-Man after that last one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I loved seeing my favorite Spider-Man in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, Tobey Maguire will always be my Spider-Man. Sam Raimi will always be my Spider-Man director.
Yep.
But yeah, Tombstone, the Kingpin, the Hobgoblin. Like, we skipped right to the Green Goblin with Norman Osborn. There was another one before that, you know?
Yep. Well, it's interesting with Kingpin because of the rights. It's so weird. Like, what Marvel owns, what Sony owns.
Yeah.
Who knows if we'll ever see Kingpin and Spider-Man ever together.
Yeah.
At least under this current run.
And then, like, another hero, like Luke Cage.
Luke Cage will hopefully...
He got his own series, but there was a lot with Luke Cage and Spider-Man at some point, too.
More than likely, at least under this current regime, we're probably never going to see the Luke Cage we knew from that series and Tom Holland, Spider-Man ever come together. Probably wouldn't be until some kind of reboot. So
there's so many people they could bring in to bring the older crowd back to it. Like, you know, you got the Iron Fist, you got Shocker. The Scorpion.
Scorpion's supposed to be in a Brand New Day.
There's so many good.
Well, they already did Vulture, so.
Yeah. Well, Vulture got his own series, really, kind of.
His own series? What do you mean?
There was like a little, I think it was animated.
Oh, we're talking about animated.
They did a little spinoff on Vulture.
Yeah, because, well, he was the main villain of Homecoming. Michael Keaton.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, Michael Keaton played him, and he was great. Apparently, the whole time when they were doing all their fight scenes, Michael Keaton would whisper to Tom Holland, "I'm Batman." Just to screw him up in the middle of the scene.
Oh, man.
It's like, hey, he is Batman. He might be the Vulture,
but... He's not wrong.
Yeah. It was like...
the only time I remember that line is from Deadpool fighting Cable.
Oh, my God. That too.
You're so dark.
You're so dark. Are you sure you're not from the DC universe? So good.
Who are you? I'm Batman.
with Keaton, there was another thing. Oh, you've watched the... pitch meetings online, Screen Rant's pitch meetings, George. No?
Maybe. I might have come across it.
So they did a pitch meeting for Spider-Man Homecoming, and they were like, so we need an actor for this Birdman-like character. And they were like, Birdman, huh? I think I might have an idea. And of course, he's played Batman, he's played Birdman, and he's played Vulture.
Yeah, jeez.
Yep. Another Batman, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Or you live long enough to see yourself get killed off in a really bad Batman film.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't even a Batman film. It was a Batman film without being a Batman film. Yep. It was more Batman film than it was a Flash film.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. We'll see what James Gunn does.
They've done so many bad things with so many good superheroes.
I know. It's like one of those things where DC has such a great history in comics and animation, but they just couldn't do it with live action.
There's I can never remember the name of this of the DC superhero. I can't ever, but I want to see a movie on this guy. I can't remember.
What's he about? What's he look like?
He's like an extraterrestrial.
Okay.
There's
a number of extraterrestrials. There's a lot of different aliens.
Yeah, but he was part of the Justice League.
Martian Manhunter?
Yes.
There we go.
There
okay.
It is. Yes. So I fell in love with that guy.
Yeah.
From the Justice League video game.
Justice League video there game. Dude, I had it on Game Boy.
I had it on PlayStation 2.
Nice.
I still have it.
Nice.
But there's a whole level that you play as Martian Manhunter.
Oh, so good.
And
same with the Game Boy version.
Are crazy.
Yeah. And so powerful.
So, like, they just kind of, like, step aside from him. Like, there's a lot to this character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could do a lot with him.
And it's also funny what his two weaknesses are. His real weakness is fire. That's stereotypical of, like, most Martian lore, so that's cool that they throw that in there. But then his other weakness, I forget what they call it in the DC continuity, but essentially he loves Oreos. Like, he's got a thing for the DC's version of Oreos.
Oh, geez.
It's not necessarily a weakness. It's not like Kryptonite. But, like, there have been comics where he just loads up on, like, lifetime supplies of DC Oreos.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember? I don't know if it was Marvel or DC, but do you remember an animated series?
Okay.
I think we might have been, I think it was like maybe 2003 or 2005.
Okay.
Do you remember Static Shock?
DC. That was DC. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Absolutely. I love Static Shock.
That was one of my favorite shows back then.
Well, he crossed over with Batman occasionally too. So, Batman Beyond, all that. Yeah, no, Static Shock was fantastic.
Another.
Well ahead of its time too.
Yeah, it was a great show. And, you know, and it's the classic, you take this teenager, he gets powers, and now he's a superhero.
Yeah, but it was really fascinating what they did where, again, you know, like most superheroes, he has a dead parent, but a dead mom this time.
Yeah.
His dad's the cop.
Yep.
And then just that kind of dichotomy that he was having to juggle with. He was very much the early blueprint for Miles Morales.
Yeah,
before Miles Morales was ever a thing. Because
and then his best friend became his sidekick or something.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's 100% Miles Morales. They pretty much took Miles Morales from Static Shock.
Yeah. No, that was a great show, and I loved Static Shock. I actually still try and find it, but it's really not anywhere if you can find it.
Is it not on HBO Max?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
No,
because it was the series died off quick, like it disappeared.
Yeah, they had like two or three seasons.
Something like that.
But it was way too short-lived.
Yeah.
And it was such a great series. And, like, the topics that they went into as well, like, they were doing stuff of, like, school gun violence in those shows. Like, they had a character who brought a gun to school to kill somebody. It's like...
Back when you can make shows good.
That is wild. That was a show that played on Kids WB. That was a Saturday morning cartoon.
It absolutely was.
That's wild.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show like the depths that they were able to go into, which is incredible. It was able to, it treated its audience seriously.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why it has been so beloved.
It was, you know, that show was kind of like, you know, because it taught you lessons. Kind of, you know, and they were, I think they were able to get away with that because they were teaching the lesson.
Yeah.
You know, like G.I. Joe or, you know, The More We Know.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Reading Rainbow?
Oh, Reading Rainbow with LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, they actually just rebooted that.
I heard about that.
Yeah. What's the new guy's name? Michael Threets, I believe. I've seen a few clips of him. He's really good.
Did you see the guy who played Steve from Blues Clues is kind of...
He's got his own show now, well, podcast.
He was toying with like a reboot.
Yeah. Well, he's come back for a number of appearances.
Yeah.
Because you had Steve, you had Joe, and I believe Josh was the latest
guy. I don't know who the guy is now, but I grew up with Steve and Joe.
Yeah, same here. But they've had Steve and Joe come back and do stuff with, again, I'm just going to say Josh because I can't remember his name. It might be Josh. They even did a Blue's Clues movie with all three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember the old Blue's Clues movies.
Yeah. No, which was cool. Talking about like the orange VHS tapes at Giacomo's, that was one of the ones. I would put them right in. But, oh my God, yeah, with Steve and Joe and... Just the fact when he put out that video a couple years ago, just like, hey, how y'all doing? I know it's been a while. That video broke and healed so many late Gen Xers, millennials, and old Gen Zs right there. It's like, it was like crazy. A moment where it's like, Steve, you're back.
Yeah.
We needed you.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
When we talk about mental health, we often focus on the symptoms, anxiety, depression, isolation. But what we don't talk about nearly enough is the root cause. And more often than not, that root cause is trauma. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. Trauma doesn't always look dramatic. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's an experience you've carried alone for years. Sometimes you've never spoken about it because it feels shameful or because you were told to just move on. But here's the truth. Holding a painful secret doesn't protect you. It weighs on you. It shapes how you think, how you feel, and how you move through the world. It can impact relationships and jobs, the way you attach to people and interpersonal friendships and work relationships, and you don't have to keep carrying that weight by yourself. Healing is possible when you finally feel safe enough to talk about it. Contact a therapist today. If you need help with that process, contact your primary care physician or call MHA of Dutchess County. We're happy to help you find someone. It's time to take care of yourself. You just may have the best year of your life.
For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community. Because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free Hot Wax and Shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
This episode is also sponsored by Juniors 2. Come on out to Juniors 2 in Poughkeepsie, New York for Thursday Night Trivia, hosted by CMJW Entertainment. Play as a team as you work your way through four rounds of trivia categories in order to win gift certificates and other prizes. Juniors 2 Trivia Nights, every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. at 1126 Dutchess Turnpike, Poughkeepsie.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foam and Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
I saw that maybe it is, maybe it's not. But a big comfy couch reboot.
Really?
I feel like I just saw something about that.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Not too long ago.
Okay. All right. If they did something like that, I'd check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up on that show too.
Hey, it's kids programming, but there's a lot of great stuff. Like, I don't know if you, I don't know if you got nieces and nephews that watch this or whatever, but Bluey.
Yep.
Bluey is so big. When I was a camp counselor, that's when Bluey first blew up.
Ugh.
The last few days of Bluey. But I remember watching a few of the episodes with the kids at camp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is speaking just as much to the adults as it is the kids.
Yeah.
Oh it my is. God.
My niece loves the show. I can't stand it.
It's one of those things like, you know.
Because it's like the only one she likes to watch.
Yeah. And it's when you have it on repeat like that, you can only do so much.
I can only do that intro song so many times, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was amazed by some of the themes, like they specifically for the parents. And I'm like, whoa. Okay. This is cool.
I'm not even going to bring up another song that my other niece loved when she was a little younger.
Okay.
I'm not going to involve it. Involve fish, and I'm not going there. Nope, don't you dare. I'm going to throw stuff in here.
Baby shark, do, baby shark.
Yeah, I heard that on repeat for 8 hours straight, Connor.
So I have two. I do a summer music program, and it's called Day Rock, and we go around to a bunch of camps in and around like the tri-state area. And when we're working with the little kids especially, we play that at least 8 times a day.
It's crazy how they respond to it.
Oh, yeah. They respond. But then it's also funny because some of the older kids too, like middle schoolers, are like, hey, let's just put this on as a joke.
Yeah,
and then you see everybody going,
oh, God.
Everybody's doing it. And it is fun. It is fun in that sense. And, you know, it helps kill 2 minutes. But it is. Oh, dude.
2 minutes. Do it for 8 hours and come talk to me, buddy.
Oh, I know. But hey.
All through dinner. Trying to listen to that. Yeah.
Everything that you say is like, you start saying, instead of like you're saying, it's like, oh, so how was work today? You start going like, baby shark, do.
No. Like, I never did.
That's all you can communicate. Baby shark, do.
I would go eat out on a deck.
Go outside, even this time of year.
Oh,
at least today is actually kind of warm.
It's a beautiful day out there.
It's a beautiful day.
I had the window down driving here.
Yep. No, today's the day to do that. We've been talking a lot about pop culture, but you got a couple of things that you brought with you today that you've been saving as surprises.
I brought some surprises.
We should show off the surprises.
All right, what one do you want first?
I don't know. We got two. So Austin was telling me that he had surprises leading up to this and stuff that he wanted to show off. He got it brand new for all of this. So I don't know what he's about to show us right now. I'm assuming they're musical instruments, but there could be snakes in those cases. I don't know. So let's see.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
If you had like the peanut brittle snakes pop out.
Yeah, just open the cases everywhere.
That would have been funny.
Man, you know what? Let's do this one.
All right.
This one was a big thing for me.
Use the table if you need. Yeah.
So this was a huge inspiration to me beginning playing guitar.
Really? Okay. Oh, Lord. Look at that. I feel you guys can't see this right now, but it feels like the moment from Pulp Fiction when they open the case.
Oh, man.
All right. We'll actually show it off, of course.
So I just picked this up.
Tell us the story behind this. Why is this so important to you?
I mean, one of the greatest guitar players in history was and one of the reasons I started playing guitar was Tom Morello.
This is such a great replica.
This is an insane replica that Fender just came out with. Of his this is his guitar that he's been using since the 80s.
Yeah.
And true to fashion, everything that was on the guitar in the beginning got changed over to what this is now.
Yeah.
And so we've got an EMG, two EMG pickups. This neck pickup is actually a single coil.
Oh, really?
Disguised as a humbucker.
I was about to say, I would not have thought that.
And then we got a standard humbucker in the bridge. We got two volume knobs and a tone.
Yep.
So this is set up is this volume knob's always off.
Okay.
Nothing. And this one's always on 10.
There you go.
There's only one way to play this guitar.
Yeah. And then just control it through the amp at that point.
I've also never used one of these Edge tremolo systems
for my business. Okay.
It's really good. I've only used Floyd Rose, but this one, I don't know what it is about this one. It just feels smoother.
Mm.
And then obviously we got the standard strap body with the Arm the Homeless and the Hippos.
Yep.
And we've got the hockey stick headstock.
Yes. And I can tell how new it is by all the dangling strings that you got. We can cut those for you.
They come like that.
They came like that?
This is how they'll never be cut.
Okay.
This,
all right.
This is standard how Tom Morello keeps all his stuff. I don't I don't plan on changing how this guitar should look.
All right.
You know?
Well, no, you shouldn't. It's crazy that you bring this up because I forget which Guitar Hero it was. This was the first time I was experienced to it, but you could play as Tom Morello. Guitar Hero 3. It was the third one.
Yep.
And I remember this was one of the guitars that you could
This is the guitar he wrote that guitar battle on for that song that he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guitar wrote Bulls on Parade.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, this is what I was talking about with you.
Yeah.
And you did sound when I did this song.
Yes.
He
was trying to give me hints on what exactly it was.
Vague enough to throw him somewhere.
It was very vague. And I was like, I wasn't sure where he was taking me. Now this makes sense. Because I remember it was at, that biker show.
It was the Harley Rendezvous.
And that was, first of all, incredible show. You guys did such a great job. That was an incredible day that I got to do sound for you guys. But you guys like rocked that place and the back and forth, the musicianship that you all shared. But now it all comes together.
I did Bulls on Parade, not on this guitar, obviously. I had to set up my Les Paul in a way so I could do the kill switches for the scratching
part. Yep.
And that's still one of my favorite songs to play. On this guitar, on any guitar that's in half step down.
So was this the guitar that you said that you were just getting that there was a damage and they had to resend something?
That came, this part of the, from the hole for the tuner broke.
Ooh.
It was broken off in the case.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, I do all my dealings are usually through Sweetwater.
Yeah.
My rep over there, Jacob, he's awesome. And I sent him the pictures and a text about what happened on Sunday. He got back to me Monday. The new guitar got to me Tuesday.
Wow. Okay.
This one showed up Tuesday after the other one showed up on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was insane. Huge shout out to Sweetwater.
Sweetwater's incredible.
They take care of me so well. I love them. I've been dealing with them for, God, it's got to be close to 10 years now.
Yeah. If you're any musician that needs musical gear, musical instruments, anything like that, Sweetwater, above and beyond.
Talk to somebody at Sweetwater. They will go above and beyond to help you out. They offer, you know, you got to sign up for the Sweetwater card.
Yep.
You got to. They offer you great financing on the stuff you need and want and love to have right now, but you don't have $2,000 to just throw away.
Where do you think these mics came from, guys? Where do you think some of the hookups that you're not seeing behind the camera came from, guys? A good amount, Sweetwater.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You can't. They treat me so well. I love them. I've never gotten a bad product from them. And if I do, they give me a replacement almost immediately.
Which was very impressive how they were able to handle that situation. And it doesn't happen often. Sweetwater, very reputable. Everything that they put out, great stuff.
Absolutely.
So this guitar, oh my God. So now here you are having, after all this time, you're playing these songs, you've been listening to this music. How's it feel to have this guitar and have this kind of piece of history? Obviously a replica, but to have this essentially piece of music history.
I mean, this is probably the most amazing feeling I've ever had owning a guitar, any guitar.
Yeah.
You know, I have I still have my first guitar that I bought with my own money that I saved up for my birthday.
Same year. Yeah.
And, you know, just to go from, to start with that one. And I built three because I get bored.
It's fun to do.
It is. It's an awesome time. It's a great, you know, it's great to, cause I have idle hands and they love to do stuff.
Yep.
But this is, you know, this is my present to myself, you know, and I owe a lot to my wife for putting up with me, my reckless purchases, but you know, in the end of the day, I make money with these.
Yes, absolutely. These are an investment.
They are. And I have a lot of them.
Yes.
And my wife likes to remind me.
She doesn't play any musical instruments.
She doesn't.
Yeah. No, I was going to say.
She's an accountant and she does nails.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't think that she played any instruments, but it just goes to show you need the right person to accept the addiction of getting musical instruments.
You really do.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody else that would put up with me doing, you know, spending an exorbitant amount of money on, you know, even on my tools for work.
That's fair too.
So all in all, my net worth is in tools and instruments.
Yes. Amen to that. It was funny, you know, Alex and I are apartment hunting and I told her, it's like, you can have the entire apartment, do whatever you want with, but I just need that one section that I can have my instruments and my setup and everything.
Yep.
That is all I need. The rest is yours.
Well, you've
have
seen
fun.
The apartment. My stuff is everywhere.
Your stuff is everywhere.
It's more contained now.
Is it now? Okay.
It is. So recently, me and Laura had discussed that maybe it would be good for both of us, me, that we get a storage locker.
Okay. Gotcha.
So The amount of stuff in the apartment is a lot less now.
Gotcha. Does Laura feel like it is her apartment now too?
No.
No, not quite.
No, I still don't let her put anything on the walls.
Really?
I don't like wall art and stuff like that.
Even just like give her one room to do whatever she wants with?
No.
No, wow, okay.
Well, we only have two rooms and she does whatever she wants with our bedroom.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so she has the bedroom. That's good.
Our bedroom is she, I don't tell her that she can't do anything in our bedroom. But like when it comes to like our hallway and the spare room and stuff like that, I haven't taken over in such, there's stuff in our living room. You know, you've seen the place.
Oh yeah.
There's stuff on the walls, you know, there's pictures of us, there's scripture on the walls, and I like that. There is, however, this, I don't know what it is, if it's glass or if it's stone, but she got it on her honeymoon and it hangs in the kitchen.
Okay.
It's pink and it goes with nothing else in the house, but she loves it.
You got to give her something. Come on. All the stuff that you have lying around, you got to give her something.
I know. She takes up our closets.
That's fair. Funny enough, I think when Alex and I finally get the apartment together, I'll probably have more closet space than she will.
Yeah.
I'm more than likely just with the stuff that I'll be filling in. We'll see, though.
I don't have a lot for closets.
It's not so much just clothes. It's just stuff like to store in there and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because like, I just like think of how I use my closets at home, and yeah, I use it for clothes, but underneath the clothes, I have everything else shoved in there.
Yeah, I've got this shirt, I got this shirt, I got like maybe six more shirts.
You're a simple man in that regard.
Very simple man when it comes to what
apparel.
I wear.
Yep,
I've had the same pair of jeans for 7 years.
Lasted 7 years. That's good.
Levi's, man.
Levi's. Yeah, I needed to get some new jeans recently.
They make some quality pants.
I'm so happy that I have the jeans that I have now, because I honestly didn't have really that great of jeans prior. And actually, it was Anthony that helped me with the hookup when he was at Eddie Bauer.
Eddie Bauer.
And oh, I got that stuff for dirt cheap. These aren't jeans.
I still make fun of him.
Yeah.
I loved it. So when he wasn't working there. I think it was the last time we went out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another story I need to tell you, Anthony, because it's happened 3 times now.
Oh no.
It's funny.
Okay.
But, so we went to the mall.
Okay.
And he wasn't where he had like quit Eddie Bauer.
Yep.
And so I was like, Anthony, let's go to Eddie Bauer. He's like, no. Why? I'm like, I just want to see what's in there.
Yeah.
He's like, dude.
You're killing me.
He's like, I don't work there anymore.
Yep.
And I just left. I'm like, yeah, let's go back. He's like, I'm not going to Eddie Bauer. But like, I just love to push him. I forget what. So me and him were on our own in the mall, which is bad news for the mall.
Yeah.
Our wives were getting their rings cleaned at the jewelry shop. So I'm like, what can we get into right now? I forget where we ended up.
Yeah.
But the girls found us and like, why are you here?
Quick interjection. Remember that time we were at CrossGates all together and how Alex and Laura were just doing their own thing? So we were like, screw it. We just held hands, interlocking, skipping down the mall.
Well, that's when I got all the mouse rats stuff from the comic book shop.
Yep.
I got the vinyl. I got the cassette tape and the CD.
Yeah, it was crazy that they had all three.
It was. I was like, I gotta have them, man.
Yep.
Gotta have them. Yeah, I do remember that, though.
Yep. It was like, we're not even here. No. It was like, Austin, let's go. Merrily, we go along.
Skip to my loo.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. Fun times. But yeah, no. So this, Tom Morello, huge inspiration for me, starting playing guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Between Tom Morello and Slash.
And Slash, yeah.
Guns N' Roses. Probably the real reason I bought a Les Paul was because of Slash.
Yeah.
Well,
both part of Guitar Hero. I think wasn't Slash right on the top, front cover of Guitar Hero 3?
Yes, he was.
So there you go. It's like, it's crazy how influential that series was. I'm assuming Guitar Hero wasn't
what they had to go through to get Slash.
Yes.
Because of Axl Rose.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let them. So I think it was Guitar Hero 2.
Okay.
They put Sweet Child of Mine on the game.
Yep.
And Axl Rose sued them.
Yeah. I remember that.
For rights. Because they didn't ask him to use the song.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Axl had all the rights to Guns N' Roses music.
Yep.
And
well, he had rights to everything. Hence why when everybody split with them, that's why they did, what was it, Velvet Underground.
Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
With Slash, Duff.
Yep.
And the drummer, I believe. And funny enough, they tried. I didn't know this, but I was talking to my buddy, another guy I used to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to get Miles Kennedy for Velvet Underground.
Really?
They tried to. Miles Kennedy didn't want to do it.
Oh. Okay.
And I forget who they got, but I mean, just thinking about Miles Kennedy doing Slither.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
Oh, missed opportunity right there.
Which is crazy because I just learned Slither last night.
Did you?
It's a great song and I love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. But between Tom Morello more because of the wacky stuff that he does.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent so much time learning how to do that. If you look at my pedal board, same pedal board I had when I did Rendezvous.
Oh, nice.
It's the wah pedal, the Digitech Whammy, the tremolo, the digital delay, the Phase 90, and that's it.
Wow. That's neat. That's neat.
And so, yeah, this is the one I want. I came here to show you.
Beautiful. But you did bring another one, though. So I am curious what else you have.
Another great guitarist.
How new is the other one that you have here?
Another brand new one.
Brand new? So you just got this one as well?
I just got it on Wednesday.
Oh, wow. So very, very new.
Very new.
Ooh, on a Wednesday. Walsh Wednesday. Best day of the week.
Absolutely. And
yeah,
I know it's in an Epiphone case, but it is not an Epiphone.
Okay. Curious to see what you got here. But you said it ties back to another legendary guitarist. Another
legendary guitarist.
Okay.
That was another. This one is a huge bond between me and my best friend, Brandon.
Okay. Will I know this?
You might if you follow the underground guitar scene.
We'll see.
It's very possible you might, but
not as up on it as I used to be. I feel like I should know this.
I mean,
it's a beauty. I feel like I should know this. What it reminds me of, and I'm probably not right, it reminds me of the guitar from the Seven Nation Army video.
No.
So, all right, what is this? Who's this from?
This is a baritone Les Paul.
Baritone Les Paul.
27-inch scale.
First of all, I love baritones. You've played my baritone, right?
I believe I have, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but so yes, this is gorgeous, but tell me about the history of this.
So, I believe it was 2010.
Okay.
Where they first came out with this line, and this was also another Guns N' Roses related thing, but it was when Slash left, or when everyone split.
Yep.
And Axl kept going, and Buckethead took over.
Oh.
So this is the second version of Buckethead's custom Les Paul.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty cool.
So this is a beautiful guitar. This thing sounds amazing.
Does it?
I told my buddy when I ordered it, I didn't tell him what I ordered, but because me and him have been playing Buckethead since high school.
Mm.
And we were listening to it before that when he was on Chinese Democracy with Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
So what this guitar what's on this guitar is obviously a toggle switch for each pickup, but there's only one volume, one tone.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your one volume and you know your bass, how much low end you want in it.
Yep.
And your neck and bridge. Obviously this always stays in absolute rock mode.
There you go.
Treble.
Yep.
But these here
are those like whammy replacements?
These are what kill is switches.
This? Oh, they're kill switches. Interesting.
So he's got one up where the pickup selector usually is.
Yep.
And one where another volume knob used to be.
Wow.
Depending on what he does.
He's yeah.
Up and down. But yeah, I got this one Wednesday and I haven't stopped playing it.
Wow. It's a beauty, first of all, but then the history behind it too is great.
So slick.
It's God, yeah.
I love this guitar.
Beautiful.
It's in drop D right now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
This is the one I've been playing.
Nice.
Slither.
Beautiful.
And when you plug it in, it just sounds great.
How's the action on that?
It's standard for how I like to play it. It's nice. A little low up here, but a little higher up here.
Makes sense.
I had to adjust the bridge, honestly, because
did you
have some buzz.
Yeah.
Down on the I think it was six on the sixth fret on all the strings, they all buzzed.
Yeah.
So I had to raise the bridge up a little bit, which I could counteract with changing the nut, maybe getting a higher nut.
Yeah.
And then lowering the bridge back down to kind of even it out down here. But the way I have it right now, the way it sounds, I don't want to change a thing.
No, I don't blame you. No, I was just curious what the action would be like, given that it's a baritone too. So
it's actually, you're way more flexible.
Mm.
So instead of the standard 25.5, this is 27-inch scale length.
Okay.
So you have a little bit more on it that you can move the strings, but it can also handle lower tunings with higher tension.
Yeah.
So say you want to be in, maybe you want to be C.
Mm-hmm.
You can tune this, you know, depending on what strings you get as well, but you'll still be able to play it like it's an E standard and the strings won't be all floppy.
That's good.
So, I mean, this isn't drop D. I do go to E standard with it sometimes, But right now, I've just been kind of jamming in drop D at home after work.
There you go.
And I love the way this sound. I love the way this sounds coming out of my Spark 40, which is one of my favorite amps right now.
Nice.
I mean, I've got my orange. Dual Terror, which is amazing for live gigs, but at home it's just a little much.
Yeah.
But I love this, the sound of it. It's just great coming out of that Spark 40 right now.
No, that's a beauty. And even, you know, not even plugged in, just the sound that it makes is so clean.
Yeah. I can't remember what they did the neck out of, but it's not, I think this one might have been ebony. Some of them they did out of like I can't remember the name of that.
I know, I'm forgetting.
But like
it too.
This material.
Yep.
So it was the sound it would get. Like the first run, I think the 2010s, they changed to the ebony in 2012 because they just didn't want to do that material anymore. It was hard to work with. And I think they changed the top as well because it was yellowing so fast.
Really? Oh, okay.
So if you look at some of them from 2010, 2012, they're not even white anymore. They are yellow like this selector switch. But they still look great.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. But that's cool that you got like it's still the pure white and everything.
Yeah. No, this is a dream come true too as well. I mean,
that's a beautiful one.
Such a slick looking guitar. They, you know, all the all white, the white pickups, everything.
So how much rent are you out with these two guitars? I know you're not.
I have a great job. My boss pays me very well. As much as I say I don't afford to splurge, I do.
Yeah.
But my wife's taken care of. Our bills are taken care of.
And you're in good shape.
The other stuff that I don't care about, that money goes to my passion projects. Yep.
Absolutely. Something like this. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
So, yeah, my buddy Brandon has no idea that this is the guitar that I bought.
Oh, my God. When are you guys going to link up?
I don't know yet. I don't know. But it's going to have to be before this episode comes out.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully. Just imagine, like, he finds out, like, when the clips come out. Yeah. No. But as I said, like, by the time we're recording this versus when it's going to come out, it's going to be roughly a month. So you got a month.
I got time.
To show it to him in person.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, no, so we got to link up quick because we just actually got together for the first time in, man, I got to say 5 years.
Really?
He's been going through some stuff I'm not going to get into.
Yeah, no,
It's his own personal things. But he's finally back in a good place. Mm-hmm. And we got together, I think it was the last Friday of February.
February, okay.
We got together and he played. So he's got a really old, this Les Paul's got to be from the 80s.
Really?
It's old. It's like, I think it's a special, a Les Paul special too.
Okay.
It's customed.
Nice.
I don't know where he got this thing.
Yeah.
But it's black. It's got the juniors. It's got the rounded with the pick guard that goes all the way down.
Yes.
And on it, he's got his selector up here, but he has two volumes and a tone, and he's got a kill switch on it as well.
Mm.
I don't know who made this guitar. The thing looks like hell. It's old, it's black, and it's not working currently.
Oof.
His one pickup is acting weird, so I'm going to have to fix that for him. But
there you go. Good friend.
I'm thinking about buying another one of these.
Might as well.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, if you can, why not?
You just can't go wrong with them sometimes.
I got an electric guitar that we can't pin down what exactly it is because it is so completely like it was – completely like made up from the ground up because it's got like the body of a Les Paul,
okay,
but it's got pickups of a Gibson. It's got like the bridge and neck of an Epiphone and all the different switches on it. Like it doesn't make sense. Like I've shown this to people.
And you didn't bring it today?
I know. I probably should have brought it today, but I've brought it to a few like music stores and a couple of professionals, people that I know. And they're like, this is like one of the most original looking guitars I've ever seen because it looks like it was just made from scratch.
You might have like a Tom Morello special.
No, it's older. It was so my uncles in the 60s got it used.
Yeah.
And they got it. So my Uncle Chris and my Uncle Phil used it, sat around in the basement forever. And then when I started playing guitar, my grandparents gave it to me and I've had it and I've used it on a couple of things.
Yeah.
But I've always been so curious about the history of it because like you take a look at it and you can't necessarily just do a quick Google to figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it is, it feels one of its own. One of these days I will find some kind of history of it, but it is insane. It, and it's, I even have the original amp that it came with, too, that's from the crazy. 60s as well. I've had to get that fixed. It's a tube amp and everything.
I'm sure that thing sounds great, though.
Oh, it does. It does. There
those
have been
old amps, man. They're
so
awesome.
The original Dance With Me track. Uh-huh. The original Dance With Me track. When I was recording guitar for that, I recorded it on that electric guitar on the original amp, I did it at 3 o'clock in the morning during the pandemic. And I swore to God that I the very first strum that I did as I was getting everything shook the whole neighborhood. I was like, oh my God, I just woke everybody up. And I was like, turn it down.
Cops are coming.
Funny enough, when I asked my parents later, it was like they didn't notice anything. They didn't wake up. So dang. I was like, thank God. But yeah,
if I did that, I'd get slapped.
I was amazed that I didn't wake them up. I am so amazed that didn't wake up my folks. But I remember I was so drawn to the music, and I had the idea in my head. I was like, I have to do this right now. So yeah. I set it all up, and I didn't have the equipment that I have now. So I had like smaller, crappier equipment that I was hooking everything up to. But here I am, 3 o'clock in the morning, ripping this thing, and it was so much fun.
When I wrote my first song, I was actually I don't remember what inspired me to write it. I had just gotten broken up with.
Well, there you go. That's an inspiration.
Well, yeah, but so that doesn't inspire me to write music.
Okay.
I'm not, you know me, I'm not the sappy kind of person.
What?
Yeah, no, right? No. Yeah, this big old guy. Yeah, I have feelings, but they don't compel me to write music. Only angry feelings do that.
That's fair.
But I was on the phone with one of my friends, one of my mother's friends from Holland. They were calling to say hi. And she was like, do you have, she's like, how's music and stuff going? I'm like, it's going good. She's like, do you have any songs out? I'm like, no. So I wrote my first song in 3 hours.
Which one was your first song? You showed me a couple tracks.
It was, I haven't named it yet, but I think I'm going to call it, Sorry.
Okay.
Did
you ever show me this one?
I might have.
Yeah.
I think I played it at that rendezvous. It was.
Oh, did you?
It was the.
Okay.
Okay, it's a drop D now.
Yeah, but that sounds beautiful. I would imagine based on the progression, probably, and the progression in the vibe of it, is it clean?
I have no idea what I'm playing.
It's all good, but is it? Would you play it like with a clean tone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
When I was writing it, I was writing it on my Schecter Avenger.
Okay.
Which is the absolute opposite song you would write
something like that.
A sappy love song on.
Yeah.
And but it was the only guitar I had with single coils.
Okay.
Like a Strat. And that's what I wanted. I was going for a John Mayer type sound with the Strat. And I achieved it with it. I mean, it looks ridiculous when I play that song on that guitar. And it should be more of an acoustic song, but I ended up taking it that night. I took it from my house. The next day I went to the band I was playing with and I'm like, I wrote this last night. Let me know how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then we took that and we changed it, from the finger picking to.
Well, that sounds like it's got some of that Southern rock influence that you were talking about before to it.
Yeah, and then we went to regular chords through the chorus, and then we did something weird for the bridge. We just kind of kept it in that. I don't even know what these chords are, dude. It just hit me that night.
It's funny. Some of the greatest musicians don't know exactly what they're playing. They're just like, sounds good.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what I'm doing up here.
See, sometimes that liberty of it, of not exactly knowing what you're doing, can help you out, because I probably took a lot more risks before I understood music theory.
Yeah.
And then by the time I did understand music theory, I was trying to do so much by the book. And then I was like, this is just holding me back.
No, because every one of your songs has a minor chord in it and a pause.
At least on the last album, yes. On the last album, yes. But
you're definitely way more intricate when you do chord progressions than I am.
I am
1-3-5, 1-3-5, 1-3-5.
Oh yeah. See, that's exactly what I'm doing with the chord progressions there. I'm always very intricate on that.
Yeah,
when I brought you
adding sevens and nines in some of them.
Yep.
And I mean, they sound great.
Or I'll be adding,
you take that to the electric, it's very weird.
Or it's secondary dominance or throwing in all this stuff. What was it? When I brought you the song Find the Words.
Yeah.
You and who was your other guitarist?
Chris.
Chris, and you guys were like looking at me, it was like, what the hell is this?
I was like, hey, Connor, what's that chord?
Yeah, no.
Like, oh, yeah, it's like this. I'm like, yeah, what's the root of that chord? They're like, oh, C? Okay.
All right, we'll just go with C.
Go with C.
But not even just for that. Like, just there are multiple, not necessarily key changes, but, like, there's a lot of secondary dominance that lead you into one feeling and another. Yeah. And that it's, you know, it's a very punk-inspired song with a lot of, like, actually musical theater progressions in there.
I did a lot of punk drums on that song.
Yes, you did.
Oh, man, I let my inner Travis Barker out on that one.
Amen on that. It was that was a lot of fun, and hopefully finally coming out this year. But
that one
was a lot of fun to work on.
I think we got to redo that solo section.
I think I
can play it.
I don't know. I think it came out pretty good. We can review it.
Have to chop it a little bit to get it upbeat.
We'll see. But it was just one of those things where it was like, yeah, I handed pop punk guys a musical theater chord progression, and it was like, Connor, no.
Yeah.
We did have to rewrite the bridge and the solo.
Yes.
To simplify it. And to be honest, I'll admit, sounds better that way.
Because you had some interesting stuff in that bridge.
Yeah, well, I was trying to mimic what I was doing earlier with the verses, but honestly, just to simplify it makes it so much, it makes it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that little bass riff I did?
Yeah.
I stole that from the Gin Blossoms.
I know you did, because we're talking about that because how much I love the Gin Blossoms and everything. Yep. I love the Gin Blossoms so much.
They were just here not too long ago.
And they're coming back in the summer, I believe, too.
Are they coming with, Spin Doctors,
thank you. Yes, because I know.
I'd love
to
see them too.
They would be great. That's such a strong pairing right there of Spin Doctors and Gin Blossoms.
Two awesome '90s bands. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Oh my God.
The Spin Doctors were huge, and so were the Gin Blossoms.
Oh yeah, I'd be there like front and center. I wanted to see. I think it was Gin Blossoms, Wallflowers, and Matchbox 20 all touring together. Ooh. This was a few years ago, but I was like, damn, I wish I could have. I don't think they had any shows around here.
I'd love to see
which
Rob
is the problem.
Thomas.
Rob Thomas is great. I've only seen Matchbox 20 in concert once. Phenomenal. One of my favorite concerts I've ever seen. Oh my God.
What a great voice.
He lives not that far away from here, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, he's just in Westchester County.
Okay.
Yeah. Nope, that's where he set up shop now.
Yeah, no, I'm still trying to see Harrison Ford.
Does Harrison Ford have a house?
I think he does in Saratoga.
Does he?
Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
Paul Rudd.
Well, Paul Rudd's got a place in Rhinebeck.
Okay.
And I've seen Paul Rudd a couple times.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I remember one time in particular, there was this guy in this beat up red pickup truck just driving around town. And I
Edward from
No, and I swear to God, it was like, oh my God, that looks like Paul Rudd. Nah, can't be.
Can't be.
A couple weeks later, I'm working with somebody who has worked with Paul Rudd, and they were saying it was like, yeah, no, if you see him in the area, he's got this car or he's got that, oh my God, that piece of crap red pickup truck. And I'm like, oh my God, so I did.
I was driving that piece of crap red pickup truck.
He was. But besides that, though.
I love celebrities.
He's,
love to chill out. And
right.
Leisure, you know.
He co-owned Samuel's Sweet Shop in Rhinebeck with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll also see him at like Holy Cow Ice Cream. He loves that place. And then you'll see him at like Pete's Famous Diner. So like you'll spot him around.
Pete's.
Yeah, you'll spot him around Rhinebeck. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
I've never talked to him, but I've seen him a couple times now.
Okay.
But one of these days I would love him on an interview. Paul Rudd, I'm coming for you. But it's just like one of those fun things of celebrity spottings of that regard.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, it's crazy that how many people actually come to New York.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't think that they leave LA unless they're shooting.
But this area is becoming such a hotspot.
It really is. And I'm pretty sure it is Harrison Ford who has a mansion in Saratoga.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know.
Or further up, maybe towards Lake George.
I know Daniel Craig does. You know, Amanda Seyfried. She's in the Catskills. So good. So good.
She is funny.
I was just on a Mean Girls rant with somebody the other day. We were
From Ted 2.
Ted 2, fantastic. No.
Enough Scott Fitzgerald do to you.
Oh, my God. And the whole Sam L. Jackson. Yeah. Oh, my favorite scene, though, is probably the Star Wars versus Star Trek. It was like, yeah, second Captain Kirk. It was like, whoa.
It
was like, sorry, she doesn't know. She doesn't know.
I
just hit the cup off. It's all good. No water in there.
Well, she doesn't know. Why, you guys would never be seen with each other.
Oh, my God. Ted 2 is out
season. I'm sorry. She doesn't know.
Ted season 2 is out. I'm excited to see that.
I saw the first season. That was really funny.
That was really funny. I want to watch the second season.
I love the kid they got to play Mark Wahlberg.
He's great.
He's awesome.
He's so good. And it's funny, too. Like, I'm blanking on it, but apparently, like, he's been in stuff before, like, when he was real little.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, my God, that was him?
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was stuff that you would absolutely, like, be like, oh, that's cool. He's been there from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, Austin, we are coming up on like 2 hours of this, actually.
We're really good at this.
We are, but at some point, I'm going to hit my cap on like how many gigabytes I can go with on this and whatnot.
Yeah, just
so,
more. Just get more RAM. That's all you need, right?
Need more RAM. What was it? There was a show where they were like, just get more RAM. That's not how RAM works.
Oh, man. I do know that line from somewhere. I'm pretty sure that's why I said that.
Yeah, where is that from? Oh, that's going to bother me.
I can't remember.
But it's okay. But that being said, you know, so here you are as a working musician. You have a daytime job.
Yeah.
You are a working musician. You're still getting to love it. There's one thing that I always love to try to dispel on this program is the wide survey, the wide spectrum of musicianship of what it means to be successful in music. Yeah. So as somebody who can do this while also having a job that helps pay for a lot of things, but then you work with your bands, you're getting these guitars, have stuff lying all over the place where Laura's like, what are you doing, Austin?
Yep. Tell us. It was Wednesday when this came. I also got two more Telecaster cases for the Telecasters that I had built. And so there were like five boxes at our door that day. And she had gotten home before me because I was working late. And I called her. I'm like, hey. She's like, hey. I'm like, are my packages here? She's like, yeah, I brought them inside. She's like, what is all this?
I know. She probably. So besides Laura coming after you about it, though, like, how do you feel on being a working musician today and like what that means in 2026?
I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't love music and you don't love performing, it's not for you.
Yeah.
If you love to play your guitar on YouTube or, you know, on TikTok and stuff, but you're not out there being a part of the community and like, you know, being that I work a full-time job, it does take away from me actually getting good at this freaking instrument as much as I want to.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm exhausted. So when I do get to play this, it's awesome. I play it for like 3 hours at a rip and I can't stop. I won't go to sleep, but I keep this where I'm at right now with knowing how to play the guitar as this is a bonus for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that same thing with the bass, same thing with the piano, same thing with the violin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good. I'm not a master of any of them, but I'm good at each one of them in its own right. And I can hold my own at some things.
Yeah. Well, just remember, a jack of all trades, master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, even though Sean, who is our lead guitarist, and you know, it's his band that I play with. He's been, mm-hmm. you know, this band's been around for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of different faces come in and out, but we've been the same four guys for, I want to say, going on 5 years now.
Nice. It's
probably the longest that I've seen, the longest run of guys that have been consistently
great
in this band. And it's probably why we have we've excelled further than the past.
Yeah. Consistency matters.
Yeah. So I count that as a blessing every day that I still am able to pick this up, pick that one up, grab my drumsticks, go play on weekends, and while also maintaining a steady flow of cash from my day job. As much as I would love to give all that up and just go on the road, it's not financially responsible.
Not at the moment, but you never know what could happen. But at least in the meantime, you know, the job is for your survival, but the music is to live.
Music's for my soul, man.
Yeah.
You gotta have something that you love in this world. And if you don't, you're doing it wrong. I'm not saying you gotta love music, but if you have a passion and you're not pursuing that passion in any way, you're doing life wrong. Yeah. You're going through life miserable is not the way to go through life. Pick that guitar up, pick up some drumsticks. Grab a calculator if you like doing math. You know, do what you love to do in the time that you have to do it, because you don't get to do it for long. You get one chance at this, and if you don't do everything you love in that time, then you just wasted it.
Dude, what a fantastic way to just end it right there. That's phenomenal. Remember to follow what you love. Follow your passions. Austin, thank you so much for being here on this episode. Probably the longest Walsh Wednesday episode I've ever had, but we'll have some fun with it. I might just release it without editing. Too much for me to edit. It's all good. I'm Connor.
I'm Austin.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks at Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon.